The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us as disciples of your Son to love the world with compassion and constancy, that your name may be known throughout the world, throughout the earth, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right. For soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel. I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 67 responsively. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us.
Let your way be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations on earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought forth its increase. God, our own God, has blessed us.
May God give us blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from Romans. Paul writes, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left the place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman came from the region, came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. In today's gospel reading, it seems like we have actually two very separate and distinct stories. The first, we have Jesus taking on the Pharisees about purity laws. And in the second story, it's about a Canaanite woman who wants her daughter healed. In some lectionaries, they actually give the option to not deal with the first story so that preachers don't preach more than one sermon at a time. I'll try not to do that. But there does seem to me that there is something that unites these two stories. How we understand the radical inclusivity that God's kingdom brings. How we understand who is in and who is out. How we view those people who are described as the other is really what seems to unite these two texts. And in order for us to know who's in and who's out, we have to briefly recap what God is doing when he established the holy nation of Israel. The promise given to Abraham was that his people were going to be a great nation. God would bless them, and they would be a blessing to others. God had created the nation, a nation of people from which everyone was to learn about the true God. These people would bless everybody else. Later on in the history of Israel, they were called a light to all the nations. The people of Israel, God's people, were given a series of guidelines in order to be a holy people. And these guidelines were called the law. See, when the people of Israel had stopped being slaves, when they had left Egypt, they needed to learn how to be God's people. They needed instruction on what it meant to be God's holy people. Being holy meant that you were set apart. For instance, a knife used in your kitchen is just a common knife. But a knife used in the temple that was set apart for a special use, that knife became holy. The people of Israel were to be a holy people set apart for God's use. So they were given the law, and the law ranged from all kinds of topics: moral, ritual, agricultural, social, dietary. Depending on what laws you violated, depended on the punishment or the ritual actions that you needed to take in order to be restored into that community. Some of these laws were you couldn't eat blood. You couldn't sacrifice your children. You were ritually unclean if you touched a dead body or a dead animal. Sabbath is very important. If you were unclean from, say, touching a dead animal, you were cast out of the community just for a little bit. You needed to spend a couple of days by yourself. Make sure, and you didn't necessarily get punished. You just had to follow a series of steps to really be incorporated back into the community. And I really feel like I'm simplifying a lot of the Old Testament at this point. Here's what the Pharisees did. They had the written law, but they also had the oral law. The oral law, they said, was the tradition of the elders. And so they believed that this law came from Moses' mouth directly. And what the oral law did was it built a fence around the written law. So you couldn't even get to breaking the laws written in the book before breaking the oral laws. That's a heavy yoke to bear. This caused a lot of undue burdens on people. And somewhere along the way, the Pharisees forgot about the much weightier portions of the law, like justice and mercy and faith. And so Jesus says, hand washing doesn't even matter. Hand washing isn't even in the Old Testament. It's part of the oral law. This made, for the Pharisees, this made obeying the law an object in and of itself. They forgot why they were doing it. And the best way I could describe this is a story a police officer once told me. He was a motorcycle cop, and he was driving on the freeway and a car had broken down right in the middle of the road. So he drives up his bike behind it and he starts diverting traffic. And after a while, he hears his radio. Whoever the motorcycle cop is diverting traffic for no reason, stop it. Police officer forgot to look back. The car started, left, and he had been there for a while. In the same way, the Pharisees had been so involved in obeying the law, they forgot why they were doing it. They forgot they were to be a holy people, a blessing to others. They were to be a light to all nations. And they forgot and they turned in on themselves, and made it impossible for even for the chosen people of God to do what God had put them there for. They were only concerned with congratulating themselves on who was in and who was out. Jews who obeyed the law were here, according to the Pharisees. Jews who didn't were over here. And, well, those Gentiles, those pagans, everybody else, well, they were over there. They were turned in on themselves. You know, we still see this today. We are still very concerned with who's in and who's out. We are very concerned with who is the other. And this story is repeated over and over again in our society. But not only do we become so turned in on ourselves, we start to believe that the other is the reason for the problems that we have nowadays. In 1963, Stan Lee and Marvel Comics created X-Men. Did anybody collect this as a kid? 1960s? No? Anybody read it as a kid? Wow. Not one person. Ah, yes, thank you, Jim Krakowski. So this comic book, anybody see the movie? X-Men? I see. Okay, good. I'm not talking to a totally blind guy congregation then. Okay, so this comic book was about a group of mutants who had special powers, extraordinary abilities. And some of them, they would fight against evil in the world. The problem is that the normal humans were afraid of their powers. They didn't understand the mutants. And they started to round them all up. They started to blame them for all the evil in the world. These people were not like them. They were the other. The creators of this comic book specifically created it in the 1960s as social commentary. What the human race was doing to the mutants in the comic book was the same exact thing going on in the United States. Black people were cast to the other. They were that other. But really, the mutants stood for anybody who were marginalized. And they were made the object of hate. I like comic books. And I've always wanted to use X-Men as an illustration in a sermon. The Pharisees believed that if only the nominal Jews obeyed the law like they did, God would get rid of the Romans. Nazis believed that the Jews were the reason for the economic trouble in Germany. The Hutus killed the Tutsis in Rwanda. Mexicans, they believe that immigrants from Guatemala are the reasons for their country's problems. The United States, we believe undocumented immigrants are our problems. At least that's the talk that goes. And the circle goes round and round and round. The argument goes like this. If only these people, fill in the blank, were not around, then our country would be a better place. We are so good at creating the other. But Jesus, he combats this action even in the act of hand washing. He reveals to the Pharisees how turned in they are on themselves. He tells the Pharisees it's not what goes into the person that defiles them, but what comes out of them. See, the problem comes from our heart. Because from our heart comes all sorts of evil. Murder, adultery, lying, slander, fornication. The heart is the very problem. So it seems very paradoxical to me that when the Canaanite woman, in the second part of the story, comes to Jesus and begs for her to heal his daughter, that Jesus suddenly delegates her to the other. He even calls her a dog. I don't want to downplay the harshness of those words that Jesus spoke, because I think the contrast that Jesus is setting up between his mission, which was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and this woman further implicates what the Pharisees and what they were supposed to be doing. Jesus was sent to Israel because they were supposed to be a blessing to others. They were supposed to be a light to all nations. And Jesus was trying to restore that. Yes, God's blessing would come to the world through the Jews, but Jesus needed to concentrate on them, get them to understand who he was, so that they could be a holy people of God, the people who would be that blessing and light to all. But it's almost as if the future couldn't be contained, because this woman understood who Jesus was. She refers to him as the Son of David. She was using a messianic title to address him. She had all the faith that Jesus could heal her child. She was single-minded in what she wanted. And she was not going to take no for an answer. She retorts very quickly, even dogs have a place at the table. She says even dogs get a little food. Even dogs are in the house. Dogs aren't outside. Dogs aren't the other. Dogs are part of the family. She was not going to take no for an answer. She was not going to be the other, because she understood that God was for the world, not just the Jews. Her faith was great, and Jesus was impressed that she knew more about God's plan of salvation than the people he needed to teach. Jesus was right. Our hearts are the problem. From our hearts come all sorts of evil. And that really can only be cured in one way. There's only one thing that will deliver us from this body of death. And that's Christ himself. Christ who came and broke down those walls that we love to set. Christ who challenges us to live in freedom. Christ who calls us to be renewed in our baptism and strengthened with his very own body and blood. And the same Christ who became the other, so that all who believe in him would be united with God. Amen.